Hello and welcome to the playlist, Music with Mrs. LC podcast. Today I will be welcoming our Pickerington Central band directors, Nathan Stowe, Tim Gorgas, and Matt Hakes. We will be discussing music and the hybrid learning model. Okay, we are live. First of all, welcome to the playlist, Music of Mrs. LC podcast. I'd like to start out by apologizing for everything that's about to happen in the next...
Ouch.
Who knows how many minutes this is going to go. The amount of technical difficulties that we had today, I feel like, does not bode well for what is happening. But I am welcoming three... really special guests today. Nate Stowe, Matt Hakes, Tim Gorgas, who are our Pickerington Central band directors. Welcome, guys.
Hey. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We actually do see each other quite a bit because you guys are over at Dialy, so at least a couple days a week I see you guys.
We're basically a TBT, the four of us.
We really are. We are. Yep. We see a lot of the same kids, and how's hybrid going for you guys? I'm just curious because I've seen a lot of positives, but you guys probably have a lot more to say than me. So whoever wants to go, what are your thoughts so far? The pros first, and then the cons.
Hit it, Nate.
Pros.
I'd say that our hybrid experience so far has just. It's been generally positive. I had a teacher a long time ago tell me that our jobs as educators are to eliminate the roadblocks to student success. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have added some intentional roadblocks here.
I'm sorry.
That we've learned.
Your mask around your head is killing me. There's got to be some like cross-contamination.
No, okay. This is good. This
I like
is what
it.
We wear.
Yeah. This is what we wear.
Okay, all right, continue.
But yeah, no, we literally have just taken taken the protocols in stride and are doing the best we can with the hands we've been dealt. So kids are enjoying the activity, mm-hmm. and we're able to make music. That's what we're doing.
That's the goal, you know, to do that. What are your classes looking like at, I mean, here they're really small, of course, because we're in the beginning, but at the junior high and high school, what are you looking at as far as class sizes with hybrid? Ballpark.
Between, at the junior high, it's between 25 to 35, maybe 40 kids at the most.
Okay.
And like one of your cohorts is bigger than the other, right, Matt?
Yep.
That's true for me, too.
I think cohort B in both 7th and 8th grade is the largest group.
But that's still a number that allows you to do some things band-wise, which is encouraging. I was worried you guys would end up with, you know, like a flute and, you know, 15 saxophones or something that... Is it balanced at all? Is it playable? Are you actually getting through literature, or how's that going?
It's not bad, honestly. We've got at least one of everything.
That's good.
And like for the most part, there's at least two of everything, so that people aren't playing a part by themselves. I would say one of the pros of the hybrid is we always want to have the biggest band we can, but that's not the best teaching condition. So mm-hmm. having them in smaller groups, it's not super time wasting, but mm-hmm. it doesn't take up a lot of time for me to hear every individual play in this setting as it would if I had 80 kids sitting in the room.
That's so, probably my biggest pro too, is I don't think, because we've not known anything else ever than full class sizes. I mean, 20 years for me, never had, you know, an experience public school where I have 12 kids in a room. I mean, it's just never happened. So the amount of efficiency I know for me has gone way up because I'm not stopping every couple of minutes to redirect something or fix something because I can just get through stuff. I think we're getting through things faster because there's just less kids, less interruption, and the physical distance between my kids, and you guys have seen my room, how it's set up, it's, they can't really mess with each other very much because they just aren't even at full arm's reach, they can't reach the desk next to them. So without that distraction that I think is just normal for anyone, like I know how I am in a staff meeting if I'm right next to people, especially people that are distracting. You know, I'm not really paying attention. So when it's just me by myself, I there's nothing else to do but pay attention. So I just, that has been a big pro for me.
Yeah, that's that's a pro in my classes as well. It kind of leads to a con, but mm-hmm. I have the same pro where it's nice, you know, to have smaller class sizes to be able to break stuff down more easily. Mm-hmm. But the con obviously is student contact time. You know, you're limited to two classes a week at this time.
Yeah.
And so it's been more difficult to get through the amount of content that you would normally get through by this point in the season or point in the school year.
Right. Are you doing at the high school, Nate? Are you doing any concert stuff at all, or is it all just...
Well, it's an interesting question. Like, I literally just had a meeting to discuss concert band and what it could potentially look like next year or in November when we're done with marching band. We're hoping to be able to do concerts.
You got some echo but even going if, on, just so you know. Got a little echo.
I hear it, too.
Okay, good.
Even if we are doing the hybrid band, like if we have to go back to a hybrid model, the bands are structured right now where just out of dumb luck, based on the COVID, you know, line that they divided for cohort A and B, the high school band balance is not bad. Like I could have a cohort A band and a cohort B band and still make music, you know, in some way. So we're going to utilize the Performing Arts Center in some fashion to make sure kids are socially distant and, you know, we're being safe and practical. But there's so many balls that are still in the air right now.
There's only so much you can do when, I mean, we're like, I feel like I'm living week to week. It's just because it's a lot, even though there's in some ways there's less, but in other ways there's more. So I feel like even forward thinking right now is not even something I can really do. I'm like, let's get through this week and then we'll deal with next week. And we really don't know. And so I think the one nice thing is we've had enough time with hybrid to settle into something that resembles something that we feel like is real learning.
Yeah. I mean, just doing it in the springtime when our hand was forced, when we were just like, mm-hmm. oh, hey, you're not coming back to school and it's going to be for 2 weeks. Just kidding. It's going to be the rest of the semester, that kind of thing. Just getting forced into that. You immediately were like, okay, well, it really is day to day now. Mm-hmm. It is week to week. So we definitely had that experience already from the springtime. And for better or worse, the students had that experience as well. So they come into this year in our current hybrid model having a better grasp of what they might expect, regardless of what changes did happen now versus what was happening in the spring. Like, they did have some level of expectation that in the springtime, there was no level of expectation as far as, like, what's this going to look like? You mm-hmm. know, how are we going to do this? What is a class going to look like? Is it every day? Is it a couple times a day? You know, how much do I do? When do I do it? How do I submit X, Y, Z? That kind of thing. But now, just having gone through it in the spring, it kind of helps this be easier for everyone, although very far from ideal, right. easier.
Well, and the truth is, I mean, nobody willingly leaves the comfort zone. No one's like, I just want to be super uncomfortable today. You know, this situation forced something on all of us mm-hmm. that we would have never done any other way and forced us to kind of think differently, which I think is a good thing. I mean, just to, if we had to adapt again, we could. And it wouldn't be that, like, moment of, what are we going to do, you know? So regardless if we go back or something happens and we don't go back, at least we have something and we're prepared for something, and we won't have to be in that place again where no one really knows what's going on at any given point, because that is not comfortable at all. And, you know, you just feel like you're not doing right by the kids, and that's never a good feeling either, so... Mm-hmm. So let's talk also about a little collaboration and the importance of collaborating with your fellow man. You guys get to do that all the time.
I just want to jump in here and say it's really important that this goes on record to be that, you know, when I hear other teachers or people, you know, say, man, I have to go to a TBT or... oh, I have to figure out what's going on in this classroom. We literally get to TBT every day. Mm-hmm. It's so much a blessing to be able to spend all this time with these guys.
The three of you are great. I enjoy the little bit of time that I get with you. We have always gotten along really well. I mean, I have known Tim, gosh, 16 years at least.
Way back.
Yeah, I mean, our boys grew up together, so it's been a really long time. Nate, through a crazy chance encounter in the Groveport.
Yeah.
Met way back then before you were even here. And Matt, I didn't know you even worked for the school district till about a week ago, so I'm just
kidding. Hey, most people have no clue.
I'm just kidding. But you're the newest one, and you fit in great. And you guys have always been... supportive of anything I've asked from you guys. I think it's hard because in music there's like all these different branches, you know, it's not just one thing. So what I do is 150% different than what you guys do, but we all want kids to learn and grow and appreciate something, and so it's nice that we have that good friendship that allows us to collaborate really well.
I mean, a lot of what we do, it doesn't matter if it's marching band or concert band, is we all have to be enough on the same page to realize that at the end of the day, there needs to be a product. And the kids have got to do a great job having the product. And if you put yourself back into their shoes, you hate to not have a good time if you're them while you're trying to accomplish that product. Mm-hmm. So just having that small level of empathy... I mean, like when Nate or Matt is like, hey, I got to do this thing. I'm, you know, like, I think any of us are like, yeah, I would be like, yeah, I understand that you've got like six things you're trying to juggle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you probably do have to do this thing. And so you need me to take over this thing. Cool. You know, so like if everyone kind of understands what everyone else has in their particular, you know, angle on the trio of the team here, mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to just jump in and try to get everything done that needs to get done to make sure the kids are successful, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think that kids, even at a young age, are very intuitive of the climate of like the emotional climate of the room. If you guys didn't like each other or we did not like each other, they would feel that, and that would affect your product, you know? And so I think that's why it's a blessing, and it's nice that we all genuinely get along and you guys genuinely like each other, and that comes out in the way that you teach and the, you know, the environment the kids have. I think they succeed because they know you're a team, and that makes it easier on them, you know?
Yeah, it also helps when we give a student feedback that's more of on the constructive side of things, that they know, you know, we were just joking with them, or they saw us joking with each other like 30 seconds before that. Mm-hmm. But it helps them know, like, okay, maybe they don't just hate me, maybe they're just really trying to get me to be better. And then same thing with each other, like, you know, I'll get done with a rehearsal and I'll go talk to Nate, and he'll be like, hey, I think you missed this, or listen for this next time. And I don't take it personally, because I know Nate's just trying to get, you know, the kids to be better. So I think it's really cool that, like, me being the newest person, I am way more inclined to ask these guys for their advice. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty reciprocal. Like, Tim and Nate both will ask the other two for advice all the time. So we're always in constant communication about everything.
And kids,
and I don't,
go ahead, Nate.
I was just gonna say, I don't think it's because, you know, it's not like I don't want Matt or Tim's voice to be heard on things. If anything, the reality is, I'm going, man, I wonder what Matt and Tim are thinking and what their feedback's going to be. So it's ironic that Matt says that, because, you know, I'm like, come on, guys, give me some feedback. And it's always genuine. You know, no one's blowing smoke, and we're always just like, the goal is to make the band program as good as we can. And, you know, and then even from a marching band standpoint, even though we are, it looks like a trio of us guys making the band sound good, we all have delegated things we're looking for and watching. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're rehearsing, the band kids will know that the 99% of the marching and maneuvering comments are going to come from Mr. Hakes. The mm-hmm. music comments will come from Mr. Stowe, and Mr. Gorgas will be all things percussion, front and battery and balance.
Right.
So it's not complete chaos. We just like it to look like that.
No, and you guys are good at what I like about the three of you guys together is that your humanity always comes out. Like, it's not always just about the product. The kids like to watch your banter. They like to watch you joke with each other. I think this year, probably more than any other year, I have focused more on what can I do to have these kids connect with me as a person and not as their music teacher. Just stupid, silly, ridiculous things that they just feel like you're a person. You know, you're going through it too. You're struggling with it too, and they need that. I really think they need that.
Yeah, I mean, that's gonna be huge, because, you know, I remember back in the springtime when we were shut down. I think, I don't know, Matt or Nate, one of us or all of us talked about this once. Like, at first it was like novel. Oh, so we're doing this thing where we don't go to school, and yet we try to have school away from school.
Right.
And there aren't people around. That's kind of novel, and this sounds almost interesting for, you know, a week or two, and then we'll get back. And then we didn't get back. And just the point is, because it endured for so long, it was easy to see, as you're connecting with the students in the springtime, it was easy to see how the students' mentality additionally changed. So, mm-hmm. like, at first it was more like what I said. It's like kind of this is trite, interesting, okay.
Right.
But then it got to be, this is a little annoying, and then it got to be a lot. Some of my kids were legitimately depressed mm-hmm. by the end, like just the range of emotions. And then when I would engage them, you know, we just maybe a Google Meet or a email or whatever the instance might be. The number one thing that all of my students, I think it was like without exception, they just wanted to see their friends, mm-hmm. which just kind of led you to go, yeah, so we're missing a lot of humanity right now.
Right.
Because they just want to see their friends. What are you doing today? Not much. So are you ready to go back to school? Yeah. Do you miss English? Well, I miss my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, do you miss playing a band? Yeah, but I miss seeing my friends. And so, like, if you've done that for so long and you're in that developmental age that they are, you know, and it could be anywhere, obviously, for us, from 6 to 12 grade, if you're in that, then after a while, it's an issue. It's a serious issue, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's why, you know, your comments about just making sure that you do a great job of connecting with your students, even though it is a hybrid connection, whether it's hybrid or whether it's in person right now, they definitely need that for sure.
Absolutely. And so it's just been an experience unlike anything else. Maybe I needed to be shaken up. Maybe we all did, but like, I probably would have picked something a little different than this, but we're doing it. So we're going to need to wrap this up, as much as I would like to sit and talk to you guys a little more. But we need to end this with something funny, lighthearted. How about we talk about one of your ed tech ideas? Nate. Oh, I can't.
Nate, you're on mute.
Oh, Nate's muted. he has so many guys. I just feel like the world needs to hear.
Do you have your list, Matt? I mean, you could.
I could go through the list. Yeah.
Go through the list because these names, they're more than names. These are actual apps in development, and okay. Some of them are music related, which, you know, obviously pertains to this podcast very well. Some of them are just more general ed tech apps that, you know, we see in various emails, like PLSD all emails. And so we feel like we have something to add in this area, wouldn't you say, Matt?
I would that's probably an understatement. Yeah. And these aren't just like words, they're like ideas, and I don't want to say that we're visionaries.
No, but we are.
That might be like kind of tooting our own horn a little bit.
I think you kind of want to say you're visionary. Give me like five of your best ed tech ideas.
So we've got LearnStar.
Okay.
We have Smartly.
Mm-hmm.
Witsy.
Witsy, okay.
SnapWiz. Let's see here. There's just so many. And Clues
App. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you now, Nate. You need
Okay. Okay, so BoomToot is BoomToot is a band application, and it Matt and Tim, they have names of apps, but I've thought this through.
BoomToot might be sweeping the nation here in the next 6 to 12 months. So I'm just throwing it out there. We said it here first. BoomToot, talk to us, Nate.
BoomToot.
Imagine a platform where you could disseminate information, upload your drill charts, communicate with your section leaders, maybe even have a booster portion to the app.
Boom.
You know, and none of those words, those words are just catchy words. Like, and I think all ed tech apps want is like that catchy phrase.
Absolutely.
But there's nothing more catchy, in my opinion,
than BoomToot.
Than
BoomToot.
I agree.
You hear it once and you're never going to forget it.
That's right. I fully support this endeavor.
Yeah.
Whatever it looks like, and I thank you for sharing. Guys, thank you for being here and talking to me. We need to make you like a regular part of this. Like every month or two, we get together, talk about the latest and greatest, hopefully good things and not further catastrophic events. It is awesome to work with you guys. You are some of my favorite peeps, and I'm not just saying that because I'm supposed to. I really mean it. And for those of you listening, you can find us on anchor.fm. You can also find us on any of your favorite podcast listening apps. And thank you for being here, Matt, Nate, and Tim. We'll see you next time on the playlist, Music with Mrs. LC. Bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you.